and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish as always. This is the round 13 late mail edition. I'm recording on Thursday, the 25th of May, just before kickoff of round 13 with the Dolphins and the Dragons game this evening. The round 13 big bye, it's finally here. The dreaded bye period, which we've talked about all season, but here we are. I'm kind of excited still. It's going to be a tough little period to navigate, but also quite interesting as well. So I'm really keen to rip in. So as always, no late mail at the moment, not until things get a bit freer for our good friend Wacko Jacko. But yeah, as always, make sure you stay on top of the late mail, and especially the final teams this week more than ever. But yeah, I've got limited time, so I'm going to jump straight into the questions for this week. So firstly, again, thanks for sending it all through. And yeah, let's dive straight into your questions.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
All right. Firstly, I'm going to start with some basic ones from Nick Kuhn, I think. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. It's a Kirko at Kirko for two. Head-to-head player and only interested in bringing in keepers for round 13. Hosking to Tohu is one trade I'm looking at. Asako a buy for Turbo and then shift him to center wing for round 15. Yeah, I actually don't mind both those options. I think Asako, I mean, yeah, it's kind of tough because he had a great rookie season and then he had multiple years of letting people down, and all of a sudden he's moved clubs and playing on the wing exclusively, but he genuinely looks like a center wing keeper this year. Low score of 44, scoring, like, he's not scoring bulk tries, and then there was a four game stretch where he didn't score any tries at all, still managed like 40 and 360s with maybe like a line break. Just really good work rate, and you know, obviously the goal kicking on top, so he genuinely feels like a top five center wing option for the season. So Asako is a great option this round, I think, as well, with you know, a Dragons matchup without Ben Hunt, who obviously is their most important player. And Hosking, we know he's not a season-long keeper, even though I think he's going to score pretty well over the Origin period. But Tohu, like I've said all season, I think he's going to be a top three front forward option and the handy dual position. So, yeah, I like both those options for sure. Next question is from Brett Smith at Stiffy1. Sorry if I've mispronounced your handle. He's got 13 half-decent players this week using the one trade. Question is vice-captain Dilbags or Moses? So, look, I think if you're talking about ceiling, Moses definitely has the ability to go larger than Dylan Brown just because of the goal kicking and because he's a little bit like that. Once he gets rolling, he really gets on a roll. Dilbags is obviously the safer option because of his high floor, but yeah, he's obviously been playing quite well himself recently. So I like the fact that if, you know, depending on who else you have at 5'8", I like if you've got, especially if you've got Cody Walker, it keeps him open for a captaincy option there. So I would probably lean vice-captain Moses. However, if you want to, you know, who's going to be more likely to give you a safe 70 to 90 score, then I would go Dilbags if that's how you want to play the captaincy this week. From Wall G at Kasikas, dearest Fish, I have 12 and have been thinking only one trade required, so it's either Hines to Moses or Preston to Cody Walker. Would flip Hines back in for Dragons in round 18. I'm playing a hybrid head-to-head slash overall game. My main head-to-head is playing the bye. Firstly, it's really cruel for your main head-to-head to make you play the bye rounds, but I think of those options, I mean, look, I don't know where you're situated for round 14. Obviously, if you've got too many other Eels or, again, Knights, Seagulls, then I'd definitely stick with Cody Walker for Preston. I really like Preston as a hold for overall in terms of, you know, he's going to be very useful for round 16 and 19, but I guess Cody Walker is also going to be very handy for round 13, 14, 15, and also 17, 18, 19 as well. So without knowing anything else about your team, I would lean towards the Preston to Cody Walker trade. From at Luke underscore B70, just two, who to trade out and who to trade in. Sorry, mate, your question's a little bit too broad. So yeah, trade out people not playing this round and trade in people playing this round. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. From Ben Pollard at Shire Bergen. Looking to move Isaiah Katoa on. I could bring in Ponga, Tohu or AJ. Thoughts on who you would prefer? Any other 5'8", second rows or centre wings that I should be considering? Look, it's hard without knowing your team. Of those three, look, personally, I can't get around Ponga, especially with the news he's not goal-kicking either. There's just, like, I think he'll perform well if he stays on the field. I just don't have any confidence he's going to stay on the field, basically. So I would have to lean towards AJ, I think, just the price tag for what he could do. And, you know, again, I don't know what your centre wing looks like. So if you've got lots of gun centre wings, then, you know, back bolster your forward pack if you need to. If you're short on gun centre wings, then, you know, lean that way. So I'd use that as your tiebreaker. Can't really help much more without knowing your team. From Jay at Flint underscore CSGO, talk to me more about Finu. I mean, further to what I already said about him from the episode yesterday, I do think, he's been playing mostly 80 minutes every week. He's had 7 games in New South Wales Cup, playing exclusively in the back row for the most part. Stats-wise, he looks pretty good too. And shout out to at Broomer underscore 23, I think it is on Twitter, who went and broke down, you know, his scores from his New South Wales Cup games. I think if you translate the scores, it's not going to be perfect, but it looks like he could be around a 55 to 65 average, give or take, with a bit of attacking upside in there. So, look, I'm not expecting that for Finu, but it sounds like he's playing pretty well, and there's a good chance that, you know, barring injury himself, he might be able to have a little bit of a clear run. It just ultimately depends how quickly Tuilagi and the other guys come back. So, yeah. I guess the only thing I will say is that if he does get a couple of games in the back row, there's every chance that even if he drops out, he might get the round 18 update of dual position inclusions. Like even guys like Ockenbohr and stuff like that are getting them, even though they're not Supercoach relevant. So I could certainly see Finu getting it added, and that could be handy as enough, or maybe he's making cash by then. So look, he's not the best, you know, nailed on downgrade option, but there's certainly enough to suggest that he might not be a bad shout if you do need to free up cash, or again, if you're trying to move on someone like a Pele, who seems like he's pretty limited on what he's going to be able to do for your team. So yeah. From SC Rob at Mr. Horse NZ, hey Wolf, who do you rate as the better buy, Moses or Isako? Would be upgrading Isaiah Katoa or Alamotti? Look, again, not sure where your numbers lie for round 14 as well, but without knowing that, I'm going to say Isako. I just think, yeah, if you're going to play Isaiah Katoa as an extra number this round, and then Isako helps you both with round 13 and 14, that's probably how I would go on that one there. From Anthony L87 at Alicia Dello 87. Sorry if I butchered that. Tossing up between Tapane and Tohu. Tohu a popular buy, however, injury history and 4-4 bench is putting me off. Keen on Tapane, who looks set for big minutes at lock, though also concerned about MCL sprain, as leg was still strapped last week and runs were down. Look, I don't really think you're going to go too far wrong between the two. I see both as top 3 or 4 front row forward options. They both have the dual positions. So the only other thing I'll throw in there is, and I don't know if it really makes a huge difference, but if round 20 is going to look anywhere as tough as round 14 and potentially round 17 are going to be post-buy, the Raiders do have the round 20 buy, so I can lean towards Tohu for that reason perhaps. But again, there is that ongoing injury concern that you're flagging, but as you're worried about, Tapane is currently maybe managing an injury as well. Honestly, I think Tapane probably scores pretty well this week. He's going to be leaned on. I think he's going to play big minutes at that bench. Whereas I do think Tohu's going to need some attack to, yeah, probably go 75 plus this week. That's kind of my gut feel. So, yeah, I'm sorry, that's probably not too helpful. I like both ultimately, so I don't think you're going to go too far wrong. From Jaya Pritchard at Fat Icarus, he says, find me a fourth trade. I would like to bring in Lemulu, but everyone that I'd consider trading is playing this week. He's put his team there, but I also don't know whether you've got how many boosts you've got left and how much is in the bank, all that type of stuff. So Look, the simplest answer would be trade out Dave Fifita. I do think if he's starting for Queensland, there's every likelihood that he's going to play less minutes if he backs up. And, yeah, you know, he's at a premium price at the moment. He could still continue averaging really well, but I do think he's probably not going to match that price tag. There's every chance that, especially if he's backing up and playing reduced minutes, he's going to come back potentially in round 20 or whatever, at, you know, potentially 100, 150K less or something like that. So that's the only reason I think Fifita is a viable trade-out potentially. If not, then, you know, you could look at, and I'm not sure if you really want to, but Manu out, and then you could try find a way to get Croker to Manu back next week or something like that. Still very sideways, but again, you're asking me to find your fourth trade. The other option might be, you know, Stefano out or Moale out to Afainu or something like that. That's probably all I can really recommend at this point in time. From at CWFBM52, how bad is this alleged Brinkley hobble? Is Big Val a realistic chance tonight? Look, he's on the bench, so he's definitely playing. I did look at what I think is the captain's run training picks. Like, Brenko seems like he's there, so I'm probably, final teams will confirm, but I'm expecting Brenko to play, and Big Val is going to be coming off the bench most likely. He still might get decent minutes, but yeah, I wouldn't be counting on Big Val starting and playing 80 minutes of centre. From Blue Balls of Destiny at NRL Corrupted, thoughts on trading Nico out for SJ and upgrading Katoa to Cody Walker? I feel SJ could score more than Nico because he played 3 extra games, and I could get Nico back in round 20. And he's put his team there. I think with you making those trades, you get 13 exactly, so that's good. The only other suggestion I'd put in there is, you know, do you just go Nico to Cody Walker and move Katoa to halfback? And then that way you could look at upgrading someone else, like Christian Welsh or Stefano out to someone. Just throwing up other options there. I don't have an issue with those trades, honestly, just as long as you'll be very careful about how you manage Nico's money that you free up. And, yeah, like, what's the plan for getting Nico back in round 20, knowing that you're going to have to probably juggle your team a little bit for round 19 as well. So that's the only thing I'll say there. It's just more of a cautionary word rather than a don't do it type situation. Couple of other requests for team help here. So from Fisher Talks Fantasy at Fisher FPL NRL. Need some help on trade advice. Current thoughts are with Luke to Cook, Dave Fifita to Tohu, and Holmes to AJ. Yeah, I don't mind those trades for your team. The only thing it's a similar struggle for myself. Having Grant and Cook as your hooker pairing could be difficult in round 20. Just if Grant doesn't back up, and, you know, round 20 is the game after Origin 3, so often it's, you know, if there's Origin players not backing up, it's often that game. Cook obviously has to buy that round as well, so that's the only hesitation I'd have there in terms of running with that combo. So you might be shorter hooker for round 20. From Malcolm at Power Balance 93, Boyd to Cook, Hines to Walker via Katoa, Val to Isako. Contemplating if I need to sell Walsh or Turbo, and if I do, who would you decide between the two? Turbo, the obvious pick, but he has a negative break even. How convinced are you that Walsh backs up after Origin? So starting backwards, I'm not overly convinced that Walsh will back up after Origin. In his favour is the fact that the Broncos play on the Saturday night, so, you know, it's almost like 3 full days that he'll get to recover before playing. But it is also his first Origin, so it really depends how brutal the game is. I mean, like, all Origin games are brutal, but even within Origin games, I think we can say there are some that are just absolutely next level, right? I think last year we can recall some of those games just being, you know, absolutely super fast-paced, non-stop, just back end-to-end football. And, yeah, like, you hear the players talking afterwards saying that was the toughest Origin they've played and all that type of stuff. So I can see that being, you know, dependent on whether he backs up. I'd probably plan to not have him. And, I mean, he's got a 91 break even. So even if he does come back and, you know, against the Sharks, it's probably going to be a tough match. So I can certainly get around trading out Walsh and hanging on to Turbo, but making sure, obviously, who you go to. I mean, you know, you could go Walsh to Osako and hang on to Val for another week. And then maybe Val goes to Ronnie or someone like that. next round or some other, you know, whoever you want to cover round 16 and or slash or 19. So that's one way you could do it. Yeah, because that way you can get a cycle covering a fullback, or you can move Truva down or someone like that for round 14. The only other consideration I throw in there is if you're training Hines out to Walker via Katoa, then if Cleary doesn't back up for you next week, then are you happy to play Isaiah Katoa? And, you know, that's a question that you can answer. Or, you know, what's your plan there if he doesn't, if you don't want to play him? Are you going to trade him out? And if so, then who do you go to? Or that's the only thing I just, you know, plan ahead. Think about that one there. And the Boyd to Cook trade, I've got no issues with, especially since you got Marnie as the combo there rather than having Harry Grant. My main concern with getting Cook is if you've got Harry Grant and just covering round 20, because I do think there's a good chance that Cook won't play, and obviously Harry might not play after game three. From NRL Supercoach Pro at NRL SC Pro. Not really a question, it's more of a statement. Kafusi suspension shifting Lumulu back to right edge for three games isn't ideal. Yeah, look, I think we do prefer him on the left edge. He's gotten his attacking stats down that side. However, on the flip side, I suppose, I think he'll get to run at Murdoch Masila and also Moses Sully on the the Dragons left edge. So there could be a chance of some attacking stats there. So it's not the end of the world, but yeah, it's not ideal. I do agree with that one there. And one final question. One final tweet filled with multitudes of questions from D at Barkerstorm Tiger. Firstly, Turbo can miss 6 of 8, sell. Can trust Tohu, body. If New Zealand smash it, will he get sub 60 minutes? Thoughts on Chans. Could Metcalf take his job with Tamari Martin, 6? And Dream 13 for round 13, for example, Walker, Brown, Fanua, Blake, etc. Thanks. Right. Not asking too much there, are you, D? So starting with Turbo. So we know he's definitely missing round 13 and 14. And then he'll also miss round 16 and 19. So that's 4 games already there. I guess for you, the next 8 games is that round 13 to 20 period. And you're looking at him potentially missing, you know, he'll play round 15 against the Dolphins with that negative break even. And then I imagine what you're saying is he's going to miss round 17 against the Storm. And then he'll play round 18 against the Roosters. And potentially miss round 20 against the Cowboys. I imagine that's what you're trying to get at. So he might only play round 15 and round 18 against the Dolphins and the Roosters. So I guess that's, you know, potentially the worst case scenario there. And look, if that's genuinely what you think, then yeah, I would trade him out. Or maybe you stick it out until round 15. You let him make that little bit of cash and then flick him for round 16 onwards. That's another option that you could do as well there. At the same time, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he does back up and play at least one of those games, whether it's round 17 or round 20. And yeah, I mean, the Storm matchup is not fantastic, but as we've seen, they're going to be dealing with their own origin outs, and they've just not, you know, they've not been the impregnable Storm defensive unit that they have been in the past. So I can certainly understand that, you know, Turbo could still go really well against them as well. So, look, it comes down to what you believe. I mean, if you're worried about his health, so even if he does back up, then he might, you know, stay in that dinner suit and not play as hard as he did last round, then, yeah, maybe you're better off trading him out. So I think it's going to be a gut call for yourself there. I would tend to probably move him on, maybe letting him play round 15 first. That might be the way I'd play it. But I guess it comes down to how much coverage you've got over the next 2 weeks. Like, who's your backup fullback, right? If you got like a Buller, maybe you're okay to run with Buller for round 14. But yeah, I can certainly understand that. Can you trust Tohu? I think I'm okay at trusting him. NRL Physio has mentioned in the past, a lot of his recent issues have been more contact related. So it's not like he's had non-contact injuries. He's copping knocks to the knee that have seen him miss time. So that's probably where I would be like, yeah, he's going to get 2 weeks, he's had the bye, so he's had 2 weeks in between that one game on the bye to rest up the body, so I dare say he's going to be okay. Now, if it is a a thrashing, then yeah, he could certainly get 60 minutes or something like that. But it comes down to what you believe, you know, whether the Broncos can at least put up a fight. I tend to think he's not going to play too much less than 65 minutes, even if it is a thrashing, as long as he's healthy. So that's where I'd be at. In terms of thoughts on Chance, look, I think he's probably a little bit too pricey now. He'll be okay because he's got good work rate. You know, the range of outcomes here with Metcalf taking his job, with Tamari Martin returning, look, it's there, but I tend to think it's his job to lose, basically. So Chance would need to play poorly in order to miss out on playing fullback moving forward. So I guess, you know, if you think he's going to be good, then I guess if he's playing well, he's usually scoring well, is probably how I'd look at it. So if you trust him to play well and score well, then I wouldn't worry about him losing his job to Metcalf, if that makes sense. And then finally, the Dream 13. Look, this is a hard one, right? So I think what I will say is I'll probably just work through the positions and look at the guys that I think would be really good to have. I don't know if I can boil it down to just 13. So I'm just going to go through position by position and try to work it out like that. So starting off at hooker, look, it's Jeremy Marshall-King for me. I think he's got the most potential to not only score well this week, but also to have, you know, the best kind of complementary buy schedule to partner with a Harry Grant, or just, you know, covering two buys is great and not having too many buys at the back end of the season, having already had one. Then next would be Reece Robson, obviously, you know, not so good after last round, but, you know, they still cover two big buy rounds and not really having any buys on post-origin weeks, which is always good. Cookie's got the pedigree, and I think he's great as well. Just I'm really worried that if, you know, especially with him missing round 20 and then round 26 as well, that's a lot of games. And if you don't, like I said, if you're partnering Grant with him, it's going to make it tough there. Otherwise, Cody Nikorima is the only other guy that could be in consideration. He's, you know, pricey, but he does have that negative break even and gets the chance to play fullback against the Dragons. I don't know how he's going to go because his work rate's not fantastic at fullback. I actually preferred him playing in the halves, but just have to wait and see, I suppose. Now, at front row forward, it's just going to be some combination of Tohu, Tarpane, Horsburgh, Jack DeBellin. Fanua Blake would be nice, but I think he's just too pricey to bring in now, so I'd probably give him the miss there. Otherwise, if you want to get a little bit more left field, I wouldn't recommend it because of the round 14 coverage, but Pasika has been going really well recently, so yeah, I don't mind him as well. Otherwise, I mean, Josh Papali'i retiring from Origin probably makes him a consideration. Not that he's scoring very well, though, so I wouldn't really go that way. Otherwise, you're looking much lower down in the price tags. I mean, someone like a Tevita Totola probably is worthwhile considering. He's got a lot of injury-affected scores in his average that's keeping his price down, and I do think, you know, he's going to go better. If you want someone, like I said, Fino is probably the guy that could be the downgrade at bottom dollar if you really want to. I know Joe Fungawi is there as well. Look, it's an option. I don't particularly like it myself. I think there's too much unknown for someone who doesn't play next week and just still has a lot of question marks over his role, generally speaking. In the second row, I think Hopgood obviously stand out there. A couple of those names like Tohu and DeBellin also could be slotted in here. Now, Jack Bird is in consideration, although available at centre wing as well. If you want to get a little bit left field, I mean, Ola Kuatu hasn't scored well, but we know he's got the pedigree. Lockie Fitz has been good for a lot of this season, but has gone off the ball recently. Someone like a Bryce Cartwright's great if you held on to him, but I wouldn't be trading him now, even though he does seem like he's got a little bit of job security with the injuries there. Jackson Ford, I think if you were able to hang on to him, you'd be pretty happy to have him. I do think he's going to be very handy over this bye period. Not sure if I'd bring him in, and like it's just a matter of preference, really. I think you can bring him in, especially if you think he might score a try or two in the next coming couple of weeks. But yeah, he's no must-have by any stretch of the imagination. Otherwise, there's a lot of guys here that you could consider, but I really don't like too many of them. I think, again, you're probably wanting to get keepers here. So next position, halfback. Look, it's SJ or Moses for me. I'm not going to look at anybody else, I would say. And then at 5'8", I mean, I think I've been pretty clear about the 5'8" position. It's Dylan Brown and Cody Walker, the two that you would like to have. You could get a little bit frisky and go with Ponga, but it's not for me. I can understand some people getting around there. It could certainly work, but it's not for me. I'll keep it simple on that one. At centre wing, I do think Jermaine Asako, Greg Marju. I mean, hopefully you've got Garrick as well. AJ's a great option. Look, you mean Dan Gagai can potentially be an option now. He's not playing Origin, but I do wonder if he, you know, might come straight back into the team if there's an injury or something like that. To me, I still think he was unlucky to miss out. You could go with Matt Timoko. He's pricey, though, and, you know, he just got 32 last week, so he is obviously capable of dropping any low scores, just like every other centre wing there. I still think Pennacini is a bit of a left-field option from the Eels if you don't have one. I know a lot of people looking at Sivo's way, but Sivo's 120 grand more expensive, and I think with Moses back there, the right edge will get a little bit more ball again, so I don't mind that. Other pod options, I mean, Herbie from the Broncos, I still think his work rate and involvement is really good. Doesn't quite have the ceiling, so he's probably not ideal there. But, yeah, I think you could get, you know, further down the track, you know, someone like a Lomax, Ravalawa, but I don't really want to go out and get a Dragons outside back, not with the way that they're, you know, when they don't have Ben Hunt this round, for example. Talk about Chance. I mean, Bradman Best is someone you could risk if you really wanted to, but yeah, once you get a little bit lower, it's not as ideal, so I'm more comfortable sticking with the higher-end guys. I know some people are talking about Tony Staggs. He's cheap. I couldn't do it myself. There's every chance he continues averaging like 40 to 45 and just disappointing you, so yeah, I think that's probably where I really wouldn't look too much lower, aside from obviously if Tafara ends up starting, he's a clear option for a downgrade there. So finally at fullback, I think, yeah, Clint Gutherson's the standout for buy coverage given his great buy schedule. Drinky's another option there. Otherwise, I mean, again, Ponga crops up here. And, you know, all the centering dual position guys like Asako and Chance, guys like that, not obviously Garrick in, as well. They're all options that you would probably want to have there. I mean, look, if you really needed a downgrade, and I'm not advocating this at all, but Tristan Saylor is fullback 5'8", and it's bottom dollar, so he could be a one and done. But really, I don't want to, you know, ruin a position at fullback or 5'8" with someone like that there, so I couldn't recommend it, honestly. Hopefully you're able to piece together a 13 from there, but look, just trying to rattle off some names off the top of my head. I think if you had, say, Marshall King or Cook at hooker, Tapane Tohu, something like that, then Hopgood, maybe a Horsburgh, someone of that, Jackson Ford, that back row is not bad, a Schuster or something like that. At halfback, I mean, you don't have to have one, but if you did, it'd be SJ or Moses. Ideally, you'd have Dillbags and Cody Walker if you could. If you could only pick one, I'd have to lean Dillbags just because of the buy scheduling. It's just so hard to play all three big buy rounds like that, so he's probably the preference there. At centre wing, again, I think if you could have Garrick, AJ, maybe someone like a Lemulu or a Marju, those types of guys are probably ideal. And at fullback, if you're going to have one, you know, if they're not a centre wing dual position, it's either Gutho, Drinky, or maybe a Ponga if you really want to get frisky. But again, I can't stress this enough. I don't need that drama in my life. And while I was finishing that recording, one final question came in from Peter. Come on, Haggis. If you had to pick between Fifita and Hines to trade out, who would you go for? Leaning Fifita purely for cash and possible peak in price with possible resting and reduced minutes for around 14. Yeah, look, I'm leaning towards trading out Fifita over Hines for all the reasons you highlighted. I can certainly understand trading out Hines as well, but like, I see him as potentially being able to maintain his price tag a bit easier than a Fifita can, just because of the fact that, you know, if Hines plays, he's most likely playing 80 and getting the full game, and Fifita might come off the bench like he did previously, or he might only play 50 minutes or something like that as they get managed through that period. So I guess that's the only thing I would say there. It's tough though. Like, they both have such a great ceiling, and Fifita is in such good form as well. So, yeah, sorry. I would trade out Fifita out of the two, but it really depends on your trade situation as well. I can certainly get around. If you've got trades in hand, getting rid of Hines in, say, round 16, where he misses 16, 17, and 19 might be the play. 1 out of 4 weeks is pretty massive to only play one game in there. Even if he scores 200, that's 50 points a round for 4 weeks with, you know, 800 to 900K sitting on the bench there. So that's the way I would look at it. All right, so finally, I am undecided on my trades, I have to say. It will depend on whether Tafare starts. If he starts, I might get him in. If he doesn't, I'm still looking at Finu potentially coming in there. But I am a little bit iffy there because it may leave my front row forward a little bit sketchy, or just my numbers overall generally a little bit sketchy. But I'm really trying to hold Latrell, and I think if I want to hold Latrell, I have to look at Finu as an option in order to afford my other trade. The other one is I'm trading out Val, and yeah, like, it could be Val to Tafare, and then I'd get Sonny Luke up to Marshall King. If not, then I'll have to find another solution. I'm really not sure there. So, yeah, sorry, I wish I could give my trades, but I'm very undecided still, and I think I won't decide till final team lists come out. Anyway, that's enough waffling from me. Thanks again for listening. Good luck with your final decisions, and, yeah, up the mighty Maroons.